A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, I can't believe that we're almost through October already.
I know, crazy.
Where in the world did the month go?
No idea.
I just get older and older the more I say that, but man, time is going fast.
Yes.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And since it is the end of October, that means Halloween is
right around the corner.
Yeah, so do you have your Halloween costume picked out?
My Halloween costume doesn't matter.
Just play dad.
What always gets me is the kids who the night before are all moping around the house, and what's wrong? Nothing. Uh-huh. What's wrong with you? Nothing. How about you? Nothing. Finally, someone has the guts to say, we need Halloween costumes for tomorrow, and nobody's given it any thought.
Oh, of course not.
Then I got to get creative very quickly.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of yelling and crabbing. Oh. Not a big Halloween fan.
It happens. Well, there is something fun going on this weekend and next weekend that has to do with Halloween. Patty Meyer from the Felt Estate is here to tell us what it is, and I'm really hoping that we can get a story or two out of her that has to do with Halloween.
Right. We're also going to be talking about stink bugs. Yay, stink bugs. Because they're super creepy. They smell bad.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they're everywhere.
Yes.
We want to tell you everything you need to know, even as their numbers increase, so maybe you can rest a little easier.
But first, we're excited to be in the studio with a familiar face to us and to people in Granville, Jenison, and Grand Rapids.
Right. Repco Light's own Rick Wieringa is with us. He's an outside sales rep and has been doing that for us for about 35 years now. So he's basically seen everything there is to see.
Yes.
Rick, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you've got a great audience that's listening right now. A lot of people out there that you can talk to and share all kinds of information with. And a lot of people out there, a lot of do-it-yourselfers, shy away from a painting project. They get nervous about it. They don't want to tackle it because of the perception of what it's going to bring, the mess, the disruption to their home, just the amount of work. There's just so many things in our heads that kind of make us pause and not jump into a project.
Right.
You've got all these people listening, edge of their seat. I don't want to put any pressure on you, but don't blow this one.
Okay.
What do you say to those people?
I say to them, don't bite off more than you can chew. You know, just basically taking a job in a living room, for example. Let's just use that for an example. And how much you don't look beyond that. You're going to work on just that room, because some people will go, man, I want to do this room, this room, this room.
That's how we see it. It plays out as this enormous repaint.
Yeah.
But you're saying, no, let's
one
just
room
break
at
it
a
off.
Time.
Smaller bite-sized chunks.
Right.
Start there and work our way through.
So what happens with people is if they take that one room on, it changes the whole perception of the rest of the house. It starts to get easier, actually.
Well, so, once you get one done, you see that you can do it.
There's a sense of accomplishment.
Right. With that said, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. Let's break it into smaller sized, you know, bite-sized chunks, things that we can handle. That's a great first step.
Right.
Now, since we've got you here, and you've been doing this for years, let's just walk through a project, and maybe you can give us some of the pro tips, you know, the things you've learned over the years that would help a new do-it-yourselfer really just move fluidly through the process.
Right.
Do you have any great, you better, because I just set that up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's fine.
Don't let me down, Rick.
Best thing, when you walk into your room and you've already moved the furniture to the middle, you've already got the pictures off the walls, you're ready to paint. Basically, it's a clean canvas. You're ready to go. I would recommend at that point, lightly sand your walls. Just first thing right off the bat, just lightly sand
what
your
kind
walls.
Of grit paper?
Oh, 150.
150 grit.
150, just so you get a little bit. You're getting into it a little bit, and you're taking some roughness off. You're just smoothing them. And you don't have to get crazy. It's just basically, it gives you, knocks off some of the bumps that might have been on the previous coat, and it gives you an idea of where some of your flaws are as you're sanding the walls. After that, you're gonna wanna get if you got a painted woodwork, you're gonna wanna clean up those edges of your woodwork. You're gonna want to put a little paint on the edges of all your woodwork just to give it a nice clean looking edge to it. So that when you start painting and cutting in the walls, I'm moving a little ahead of myself, but when you're cutting in the walls, you're getting a nice smooth even edge.
So you're basically just repainting the top edge of the woodwork.
More than not, you're always, whenever you go into a job like that, people's edges of their woodwork and that are pretty beat up, or there's not a lot of paint on those edges, or they're just old, and it just cleans everything up. Now, if they're a little bit, if the woodwork's beat up a little bit, then I would say you're going to want to repaint the woodwork, put one coat on there just to clean it up and make it look good. You can paint all the walls, and all of a sudden you get done, you go, look at my woodwork, it doesn't look that good.
Mm-hmm. And that I should've. True. I think people do that. They just paint the walls and they forget about the woodwork until they get all done, and they go, oh man, that really needed a little bit of work before I did this.
Right. And now you got to go backwards, because now you gotta go back to the woodwork. So it's looking at things in segments, looking at the woodwork first, what you need to be done. Now, not everybody needs to do that. But, mm-hmm. you know, nowadays a lot of woodwork is painted. There is some stained woodwork out there. Another idea for the stained woodwork homes is to just get a heavy-bodied stain similar to your color and glaze over it just lightly with a rag to clean it up and take out the scratches. That's a very good idea.
Very simple fix.
Mm-hmm. Very simple. Yeah. Very cheap and simple.
People aren't aware of that, how quickly and easily that works. Repcolite has Mira True Hue. It's a heavy-bodied stain. Yep. We also carry some gel stains that would work just as well.
Right.
And I'll ask about that in the store, and we'll walk you through the process of what's required. But what it does is it takes scratches and things like that and completely hides them.
Sure.
If it's stained woodwork, it can look brand new when you're done.
Yeah.
Right.
But as you go on with the job, I always do things in segments of what I want to do next. I don't like to waste time. So I've got that drawing on the woodwork. If I've touched up the woodwork or I've done the edges, I've got that drawing. Now what I'm doing is I'm patching the walls with a lightweight patch of my scratches, my dings, moving pictures. I'm going to move pictures or whatever. So I'm going to fill those holes. Mm-hmm. So those things are dry. Now those are drying. So the next thing that we want to look at is the ceiling. How's the ceiling look? So you got your patches drying. Now your woodwork is drying. Now you can move on to the ceiling and you can paint your ceiling. So you got all these, you got three things going on at one time, basically. Mm-hmm. So while you're doing your ceiling, all the other things are drying up. So once you get the ceiling done, you can go right back to the next, you're going into the next thing.
So now we talked a couple weeks ago about the order of painting, mm-hmm. and we actually suggested ceilings first, then trim, then walls. You do it slightly, and we said there are varying opinions out there. You do it typically in the order that you just said, trim first, then ceiling?
So,
or is that really interchangeable?
To your listeners out there, we're looking at a redo project. Mm-hmm. So you are correct on more new work, but when you're doing a redo job and the time is of the essence that you want to keep moving along, I would say touch up the trim.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So you want that to dry.
Yep. Yep.
Then you go to your ceiling or patches, mm-hmm. get those drying, yep. then go to your ceiling and paint your ceiling. So while that's drying, you can start working on your patches to sand them to get your walls prepped and get things taped up or whatever you want.
So it's all about speed and moving through it.
Correct.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
We're talking with Rick Wieringa, our own Repco Rick on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, about tips and tricks that the professionals use when they're painting a room. And we're trying to make it a little less scary for all of our listeners. For those who are a little timid about jumping into a painting project in a room, he's giving us some great tips that will kind of ease your mind a little bit. Now I'm guessing that the next thing is masking or taping. Do you have tricks for that? Because I know that some people feel a little uncomfortable. My tape never sticks. Just right. I can never get a straight line. We hear all kinds of things. Or it bleeds. That's the most common one, mm-hmm. I think.
I think, you're hearing that from, we have customers come in and we hear that from them, that they have a trouble with that paint bleeding underneath the tape. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't realize there's two ways you can look at this. You tape up a edge on your, let's start with painted woodwork. Mm-hmm. You tape up the edge with a tape, but most people don't realize that they need to push that tape down. So it's good to take the edge of the putty knife and push that down so it seals it up.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little trick. I hope people can picture this. If you take your tape and you are taping your baseboard, mm-hmm. the edge of your baseboard, and when you go to cut that in and you paint the wall, you end up with a fair amount of paint on the tape.
Sure.
And that lends itself that it's going to want to bleed under the tape if they don't have it down good,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's a lot easier if you take a rag, damp rag, not super wet, but damp rag, mm-hmm. wrap it in your putty knife so it's nice and sharp, and run it down the edge of the baseboard. So that you take some of that edge off that. You're going to have paint on that tape, but you're taking the edge off so it's
where
not
it could bleed under.
Where it could bleed under.
You're basically
right.
just removing that.
Correct. Now, on the next coat, peel your tape up as you go, and by nature, by the weight of the paint, it will just fall right into the groove, right to the edge of the woodwork, mm-hmm. of the base and the wall.
Super sharp
it
line.
Makes it nice and sharp. So that's just one little trick to do that, and just takes a little bit of time, but it's going to save you in the long run.
Perfect. Now, we're getting to the end of this segment. We're pretty much running out of time, and I know there's a bunch more stuff I wanted to ask. Rick, can you hang with us to the next segment?
Yes, I can.
Good deal. When we come back, we'll have more tips from the pros to help take all the tears out of your next painting project. Stay tuned. Repco Light and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
This is Dustin with David Hemicky Decorating. I get my Benjamin Moore paint from Repco Light stores.
The 6 West Michigan Repco Light stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, in the last segment, we were talking with Repco Light's own Rick Wieringa about some different painting tips.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought him back for this segment because we didn't get as far as we wanted to last time.
He's got a lot to say.
He does. Rick, thanks for hanging with us through the break.
Thank you for having me.
So we started at the end of the last segment talking about cutting in, mm-hmm. you know, with the brush, around your trim, around the ceiling. It's honestly one of the things that people most hate to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they struggle with it.
That's really the biggest thing that people have a problem with, is cutting in and not making a mess of their ceiling and making a mess of their woodwork. Mm-hmm. I get a lot where a friend of mine will call me and say, hey, would you mind just coming over to cut this in for us so we can roll it, because we made a mess of our ceiling. So we got to redo the ceiling edge, and then I'd cut it in nice and
sure.
straight. But really the secret to that is buying a really good brush. It's going to last, I hate to say this, but it's going to last you many, many years if you clean it out with water, soap and water, and put it back in the package.
Why do you hate to say that, Rick?
Well, I'm not going to sell you more brushes. Yeah, that's it. But if people realize you get a $3 brush, you're going to mm-hmm. fight. You're going to fight it terribly. When you dip your brush in and you put that brush on the wall, that brush is designed to flow to the ends of the tip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the better the brush, the more paint it can hold, the more pressure you put on that as you're striking it off and you're cutting it in, the brush is feeding it to the end.
Okay.
So it makes it so much easier. But if you use a small brush, and I'm going to get the small brush, it's going to be easier for me to cut that in.
That is the common understanding.
They always think that. And I would rather use a 2.5-inch brush,
mm-hmm.
probably the most expensive brush that we have, and you will have such an easy job because it gets down to a fine line as you bring it across the ceiling and along your woodwork.
It's remarkable when I've done that, because I was always one of those, I'm going to get a small brush, I'm going to just work in, and I'll just go slow, and it'll mm-hmm. be great.
Right.
And it's real choppy,
right.
and it's very tough to keep a nice, mm-hmm. smooth, even line. And then, yeah, working with one of the guys here who used to paint all the time, I watched him cut in when we were doing a project in our office.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he got a really nice brush, big brush.
Yep.
And he's just working in 8-foot strokes across
right.
the ceiling, just
yep.
as quick as can be, with a straight line.
Right.
And I started doing that. It takes a little bit of practice,
mm-hmm.
right.
but you can get very good at it very quickly if you're using a good brush.
So I want to touch on one thing before we go on.
Are you going to correct anything I just
no.
said and make me look stupid?
I thought it sounded good, Dan.
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah.
It sounded like I was tall.
Yeah, you're a lot taller on the radio.
Rick always yes. makes fun
yes,
of me. He comes
is.
Into the office every time he stops in Holland and points out that I'm shorter in person than I sound on the radio. Or something
I
like
do.
That.
I
you
do. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I do. Well, here's another quick trick, and it involves what we just talked about for a little while ago. You take a brush and you get your paint on it and you cut down the casing on the door casing. White woodwork. We're talking about white woodwork. Bring it down the casing, cut it in. If you get a little on the casing, that's okay. And people
so we're
go,
painting the casing we're, or
we're painting
we're the painting wall?
Along the casing.
So we're
okay?
painting the
we're
wall,
painting a wall next to the casing.
Gotcha.
And I hope everyone can visualize this. And as you're painting that, you get a little bit on there. But you're using a good brush now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after you get done with that, go back to that rag with a little bit of moisture, you know, with water in it, and put that in your putty knife and run that, because now you got your clean edge.
Mm-hmm.
You've already put that nice clean paint edge on there. Run that putty knife down there on its edge with that rag in there with some with water in it, and you'll have the straightest line you've ever had.
So you're running it along the casing edge?
Correct, the casing okay. edge. You can use your putty knife on edge or the point mm-hmm. and run it down your casing, and you will have probably one of the straightest lines you've ever had painting. And that's what starts to make it enjoyable for painting for people. Because
mm-hmm.
now they're going, I can do this now. I can really actually make a nice straight line.
I don't have to pay someone to get straight lines.
Right.
that's even better.
That's right.
All right. So as we're hitting the end here, this one's moving fast too. Let's talk about rolling.
Yes.
You know, now we're talking, we've got things cut in, we're ready to start rolling the paint on the wall.
Yeah.
Is there anything, I know one of the tips that I'm going to throw out there is use an extension.
Mm-hmm.
pole, even if you're working mm-hmm. on a wall, you can mm-hmm. get shorter poles, 2 foot to 4 foot poles.
Yep.
You'll be amazed how much that will help you
right.
with a project. But what other tips do you have?
It's funny. I was rolling with somebody last night, a wall, and I said, you know exactly how he wanted to help me. And he said, I said, you know which side of the roller to roll with? And he goes,
the fuzzy side.
Yeah. He says, yeah, right. He says, no, I didn't know there's a difference. And I says, well, where the handle comes to the roller, that's where the pressure is the most. So you want the open end of the roller to be on the side that's finishing up the job.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I never knew that. And I don't think a lot of people realize that,
no.
that you the open end of the roller is the end that you want towards your finished side as you're working your wall. So if you're working left to right, you want the open end of the roller to be finishing up on your left as you're working to the right. You probably didn't know that, did you, Dan?
I did not know that. So you're so the open the frame.
The frame.
The open yes. end of it.
Yes.
Is pointing towards the side that I have
finished,
just done.
Yeah, that you're finishing. So,
so the closed end is pushing its way
that's,
forward.
That's where the most
to the
of the
new stuff.
That's where the pressure is. Of,
and why do we do that?
Because you're not getting if you do it the other way, that's the way you can get lines mm-hmm. on your off your roller cover. You get lines because you're putting more of your pressure. And that's where the frame actually has the most pressure, especially when you're rolling with a pole.
Sure. Now, another thing that I know that we need to do, and then I guess this is pretty much the end of it, but you let the roller cover do the work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the misconception that people, well, I just got to push more paint out of it.
Yeah,
no.
Don't use pressure to apply it.
Right.
Just ease it right up the wall.
Right. I hope we got enough time because I got to say this. I had a person come in and they go, you sold us way too much paint. And I go, well, why? You had so many square footage. Mm-hmm. I forget what the square footage was, and we based it on 400 square feet per gallon that you're going to get. Oh, you sold me way too much. I ended up only using a half a gallon and you sold me 3 gallons. And I go, how's your hand feel? And she, my hand is so sore, my arm's so sore. and they pushed it out so far mm-hmm. that the paint went only 2 quarts, and they were supposed to use about 2.5 to 3 gallons.
Wow.
So you got to hold that with the roller with just a, like, very softly. You don't mm-hmm. have to put a lot of pressure on it. Let the roller do the work. And that was kind of funny.
Rather than push it hard to try to get more paint out, just refill it.
Correct.
And let it
just,
lightly
you're
work
just
its
guiding
way.
It. You're just yeah. showing it where to go. You let the roller do the work of putting the paint on. You yeah. just guide it.
Exactly.
Well, Rick, thanks for taking time out of your day to come and hang with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, these stinky little pests seem to be everywhere all of a sudden. How much do you really know about stink bugs? Are they just a nuisance, or are they invading your home like they are mine? We've got all the answers when we come back. Stay tuned.
Repcolite and Benjamin Moore present a shout-out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color, and while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
This is Alex Jansen with Forged by Design. Quality is key, so I choose Benjamin Moore and Repcolite.
The 6 West Michigan Repcolite stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repcolite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And today we are going to talk about something that I've learned a lot about recently, the brown marmorated stink bug, because I have them everywhere in my house, or at least trying to get into my house.
Yeah, you learned about this by necessity.
Yes,
and honestly,
unfortunately.
Since it is such a big deal.
It is a
right
huge
now,
deal.
People all over the place are mm-hmm. struggling with this.
Yes.
We figured it's probably worth talking about on the show because there are a number of things you can do to hopefully make your house less of a target.
Right.
But before we get to all of that, let's just provide a little background because it is an interesting story.
It is.
The stink bug, the brown marmorated stink bug that we're talking about, you can tell what it is if you look at them. They're basically, they've got a shield-shaped body with mottled brown coloring.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
you know, it's a stink bug, so there's a reason
you
for that.
You step on it,
it excretes
stinks.
A foul
yes,
smell
it does.
From glands in the thorax.
Yes, it does.
So don't step on them if you can help it.
No. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is this is an invasive species from Asia, and it came here about in the mid-90s
it's
is what they're guessing.
It's not been here long, but it's really made the most of its time.
Yes, it has. They originally found it in Pennsylvania about 1998, and since then it has spread to 44 states, which is huge. That
right.
is very fast.
So there's like 12 states that don't have them.
Yeah.
No, there's like 50 states. I'm not stupid. So six
wow.
states don't have them. We need to figure out who they are and send them a little gift package. Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe just go there and
well,
live.
Well, don't worry. These guys are great hitchhikers. They will find their way. That's why you find them a lot along major freeways like
right.
94. That's why I have them because
right.
they do that.
They jump on and they
mm-hmm.
go.
Yep.
Now, they're not a real pain in the sense of, you know, they don't bite humans. They don't
no.
do anything like that.
No.
They are a pain for farmers, though, because they will attack crops.
Right.
Apples, corn, soybean.
Yep.
All of that can be affected.
That's the concern, I think, is the more they spread and the more of them we get.
What does that exactly do?
Right.
Especially in Michigan, you know, where
exactly.
we have so much produce. What happens with that?
Yep.
And like you said, they spread so quickly.
Yes.
And that's one of the main reasons that we want to keep them out of our homes is because
yes.
this really can become a problem very quickly. Now, there are any number of reasons you don't want them
mm-hmm.
in the home. One is that they can spread so fast.
Yep.
Another is that they stink.
Yes.
You know, so there's two really obvious ones.
Uh-huh.
And another one is that they're frass stains.
Yes. Carpets, walls, curtains, anything that it gets on, it will stain it. You won't
and
be able to get it out.
I don't think they use the restrooms
nope.
that we set up for them.
No,
they're
they absolutely
just,
do not.
Yeah, they're very primitive in that manner. They'll go anywhere.
Yes.
They don't need privacy. They don't need curtains.
Right. The reason we're talking about this right now is because now's the time when everybody's seeing them. Or if, you know, you have big infestations, you're seeing a lot of them right now, especially.
Well, they're trying to get in.
They are. That's what people don't realize. These are a hibernating bug, so they're trying to get into your house to overwinter there.
Right. They want to hang with you all through the winter, spend Christmas, the holidays,
uh-huh.
and then when spring comes, they're going to leave again.
Right.
Or if it gets really warm, you might notice some warm winter days,
yep.
you know, around windows and stuff, you start to see them. What's
mm-hmm.
going on here? It's because they've been, you know, hanging out, sleeping.
Yeah,
and
in your attic, in your basement, walls. They love all those nice warm places.
Right. Now, the thing that makes this really, really intriguing or really, really concerning
mm-hmm.
is that Betsy's got this problem right now. She's
yes.
been struggling with it in her home.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started with just a couple of stink bugs. A couple of falls ago?
Yeah, I found just a couple of them. Okay, I don't have any idea what these are. No big deal. And then the following spring, all of a sudden they were everywhere. And I was thinking that, oh my goodness, all these bugs are coming into my house. What I didn't realize is they were actually on their way out and they had wintered in my house. And David,
right. They don't tell you where they're going. You just see them
no.
inside and you think, what's going on? And like you said, you thought they were just getting
yeah.
in. No, they're actually leaving.
Yeah, David Pop from Rose Pest Solutions was here and I was telling him this and he said, oh, you know what? They were actually on their way out and they'll be back.
They'll be back. They
in
tell
mass
all their friends
numbers.
And they come back. And that's
they
concerning
do.
To me. Not because Betsy's dealing with it.
Of course not.
But because I noticed two stink bugs this week
uh-huh.
in the house.
Just never, you wait.
Never had this problem before. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden in the, you know, evening, there's this horrible buzzing sound and this big bug.
Yep.
You know, what is that? And after I quit freaking out, oh man, it's a stink bug. Mm-hmm. But it's only one. So I told you that the next day and you said, just wait. That's how it starts.
Yep.
So if that's the case, there are some things you can do to hopefully make yourself less of a target.
Right.
And that's what we want to give you in the last little bits of this segment on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show are just some things that you can do to maybe safeguard your home. And the first one is to go around the house and seal up all the cracks or the areas where they could come in.
Right. That's the best thing that you can do. Any place where they could possibly get in, you want to be sure that those are sealed. Make sure that screens are repaired and sealed up really well. Make sure that you have weather stripping around your doors. I know for a fact that they will come in around that because I had them coming in around that earlier this fall.
And the door sweep, all the stuff we talked about last week that will prevent cool air from getting in.
And mice.
And mice.
Yep.
It will also help you slow down and hopefully prevent the stink bugs. Now,
right.
If you're going around and you see a bunch of holes and stuff like that, you could fill them with caulk. Mm-hmm. You could fill them with spray foam.
Yep.
The problem with that is if they're big enough for mice to get through, mice can chew through that stuff.
Right.
So if they're big enough for mice to get through, let's just do double duty. Fill them with like a copper mesh, a metal that the mice can't chew through.
Right.
And then, you know, possibly fill them with spray foam or caulk on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that will prevent everybody from getting in.
Yes.
Which is ideal.
Now, if they have gotten into your home, don't crush them under any circumstances because you are actually inviting more in by doing that because they emit that odor to actually draw others in and say, hey, there's a really good spot over here to hibernate this winter. So don't crush them. Pick them up with a tissue. Flush them down the toilet. Don't vacuum them up because that same smell will be emitted and it will get stuck in your vacuum and
it's
spread.
Very tough to get rid of and it will spread as you vacuum through the house. The stink continues
to
spread.
It follows you.
You don't want to do that.
Absolutely
not. Instead, like you said, pick them up, flush them down the toilet. That's the best way to go.
It is.
If you still, you know, do all of these things and you start to see a problem and it's getting out of hand, you might need to bring in an expert. That's what you did. You brought Rose Pest Solutions in.
Yep.
They sprayed for them.
Yep. They don't die on contact. This is the thing I want to make everyone aware of. They don't die on contact. It takes them a couple hours, but they will die off in mass quantities. So,
but the big thing is you can do all of that, but if you haven't sealed up the spots,
they'll be back.
They'll come back again.
Exactly.
Now, when we come back again, we're going to be in the studio talking with Patty Meyer from the Felt Estate about some really creepy and cool Halloween stuff that they've got going on down there. Stay tuned. Repco Light and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
This is David Hookster with DH Designs. Quality is key, so I choose Benjamin Moore and Repco Light.
The 6 West Michigan Repco Light stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore.
Welcome back to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, Betsy, we had actually wanted to do this segment a little bit closer to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
That was the plan initially.
Right.
But the Felt Estate here in Holland has a very cool event that starts today. And we really wanted to give everybody a chance to hear what it was and get out there and make the most out of it, you know, have the most advantage to get out there and enjoy it. So we thought we'd try to speed things along a little bit.
Right. So we got in touch with Patty Meyer. She's the director of the Felt Estate. And we asked her to join us today instead of, well, next week so that we could give you a chance to go out and see some very cool things. So, Patty, thanks for being here with us.
Well, it's great to be here.
Now, you've got something cool starting today. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, we want to talk about some other, you know, fun,
a little bit creepy things, I think you'd say.
Yeah, a little
That's
bit.
That's what we're hoping for. This is just supposed
creepy.
To be a fun segment.
Right. Now, the Felt Estate, 12,000 square foot mansion, and it has a very long history. It was built in the 1920s. And I have to guess, you know, 1920s is kind of that period where I always think, well, old houses, there's got to be some creepy stories that go along with this place. So tell me, are there creepy stories to go along with the mansion?
There are creepy stories, yeah.
Okay.
Or at least fun.
Kind of.
inexplicable events is what I like to tell people.
Well, that's good to know, because this would have been a really short interview.
Yeah. If I just went, no, nothing.
And I would have found that hard to believe.
Yeah. Yeah. No, in fact, you know, I've been involved in the restoration for over 15 years. Mm-hmm. And the number one question that I'm asked is it haunted?
Oh, really? You put all this work in all this time.
Yeah, it's like astronauts that go to the moon, and all people want to know is how do you go to the bathroom in that spacesuit? Well, that's what this is like. I do all this restoration, and they want to know, is it haunted? And I used to really downplay that and say, not really, but I have too many things that have happened now.
Oh, that sounds fun.
That I have to say yes.
Okay.
Or I at least have to say, something's
maybe
going on. Yeah, something's going on.
Okay.
I have three stories that I usually tell people when they ask me that.
Okay.
And the first one is the red rug story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had an assistant, and we were working just the two of us in the house. Mm-hmm. And when you're there and you're working at night, you keep the house locked up. I mean, It wasn't a time we were open to the public. And it was early in the restoration. I mean, we didn't have furniture. We didn't have anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to kind of warm it up for the holidays by putting a rug in each room. We would put a rug in a rocking chair and, you know, mm-hmm. have the little Dickens tableau look, you know. So I'm putting up a Christmas tree in Agnes's room.
And Agnes was the wife
of Dorfell, yes.
Okay.
Who built the mansion.
Yeah, so in the master bedroom. And I've put this big red rug in there. And every time I go in there with more Christmas ornaments or something, the rug is all bunched up in a corner. Well, of course, I'm only there with my assistant, mm-hmm. so I'm assuming she's the one bunching the rug up in the corner.
Assistants are so pesky like that.
That's right. Like, she probably didn't want it in that room, is what I'm thinking. So And we're kind of ships passing in the night. She's mm-hmm. working in one part. So I meet her in the hallway, and I say to her, you know, like, what's with the rug? Because I keep straightening it out every time I go in
there. So this happened multiple times.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so she says, well, I haven't touched the rug. And I'm like, yeah, right. So, you know, she's thinking I'm goofing on her. I think she's goofing on me. So we go in and we straighten out the rug, she and I together. Mm-hmm. And then we go and we work together. We were working on some homemade ornaments. Mm-hmm. And so we go downstairs for about an hour and a half and we work on these ornaments. And we didn't even let each other out of each other's sight for a minute because we're sure the other one's going to try to spook the other, you know.
Right.
So about an hour and a half later, we go back up to Agnes's room and the rug isn't in the room.
It's not even in the room?
No, it's in the adjoining room, and it's all crumpled up in one corner.
Wow. Do we have some spooky music?
Yeah.
So creepy.
Dun, dun, dun.
What did you do? I know what I would have done.
Screamed like a girl?
I would have screamed after I did this other thing. I would have needed a mop.
Yeah. So we took the rug, and we just put it in another room, and mm-hmm. we never had another problem with
Agnes
it.
Did not want
I was gonna say, she did not like
she,
that rug.
I wonder if it was the color.
Yeah, red was not her color.
She would not like the color of the year this year.
No, she would not.
So, so we moved it to another room. Well, on another occasion, and this was also pretty early in the restoration, mm-hmm. my husband and I were working there. And of course, as you know, the mansion is owned by the township. And so when we would work there, we'd try to be really good stewards of our resources and turn off all the lights when we left and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we're leaving one time. We've got all the lights, not even all the lights worked, but mm-hmm. we had the ones that were working off, and we're leaving with flashlights, and we go outside, and there's a light on in one of the rooms.
Of course.
It's in the blue and yellow checked bathroom. Now, mm-hmm. if people haven't been to the mansion, the bathrooms are wild. They're original tile. And this blue and yellow check one is just, it's so Art Nouveau. It's mm-hmm. great. But you can see it when there's just a single light bulb. You know what room it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back in, turn it off, leave. We're going out. And of course, you know what I'm going to say. The light's back on again. We do this 3 or 4 times. And finally, I just say to my husband, there's a short. You know, something's making a contact in that switch. So the next week, we have we had an electrician that was retired but still a licensed electrician, and we asked him if he would take a look at that one, mm-hmm. and told him what had been going on. Well, he came back about 10, 15 minutes later, and he said, must have been a different room. And I'm like, no, trust
only
me.
One blue and yellow.
Right. And we were up there three times. Right. You know, and I was with my husband. Uh-huh. I'm not losing my crackers. Right. So, well, I am, but not in this case. So anyway, so he said, no, it's not that room. And I said, well, why don't you think it's that room? And he said, because I took apart the light fixture and there isn't any wiring going to the fixture.
Oh,
the hairs on the back of my neck are
standing
up.
Now I need the mop here.
Yeah.
Too bad we had a carpet.
So there's no wiring.
There was no wiring. So we were turning
it off.
A light on and off. And it
a
was
light
going
that's not...
on and off.
And it wasn't even wired.
And it wasn't wired.
Was it battery powered? Say yes. Good grief.
Yeah.
Your hair is standing up a little funny.
Well, it always does, but
it's
even
does,
more
but
funny.
This is more. We're in the studio on the Repcolite Home Improvement Show with Patty Meyer from the Felt Estate, and we're talking ghost stories just because it's fun and it's almost Halloween, and you said you had a third one.
I do. I was going through the mansion with a man who was going to donate some fire suppression items like fire extinguishers and emergency lights and that type of thing, and so we're going through and we're not talking about ghosts at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you're talking about fire load and how many people are you going to have per square feet? And, you know, it's
right.
Boring.
And who knew I was going to get into that when mm-hmm. I just came out here to restore this mansion.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're going through and we're chit chatting about different things mm-hmm. and what is going to be the use of the building and all that kind of thing. And we're going up to the third floor. And for people who haven't been at the mansion, the third floor is a ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And you get up to the top of the steps and there's this vestibule or anteroom before the ballroom. Well, we take that last turn in the steps, and I don't know how to explain it, but there is an image in that anteroom. And if you've ever watched Star Trek and you've seen when they beam someone aboard
mm-hmm. yeah.
and you get that white kind of filter, the molecular, that's what it looked like. Well, yes, it's a figure of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a man.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we stand there, and of course, it's probably just a split second.
Right.
But I'm going to stand there until it does something or it moves. The guy that was with me just tore out of there. I mean, he went, yes, if it was a murderer.
We should call this guy out.
Yeah, because I would be dead, really, if it was a murderer, right?
That is how I would have responded.
Yeah, it was really funny. He tore down that flight of stairs and the next flight of stairs, and he went running outside.
So it wasn't just you that saw it.
No. No, in fact, he wrote a letter to the township that said no one should work in there. That place is haunted. You know, which was kind of great for me because it validated that I'm not. Because I would go to the township with these stories of things that had happened in the mansion.
Right.
And, yeah. And
so
they
you're
never
standing there and you hear, and you see a car peel out of the parking lot.
Yeah, actually.
That's exactly how I would have done it.
It seems like a movie.
He did donate the stuff, but mm-hmm. when he brought it, he set it on the front porch, knocked, and ran. Like, he
awesome.
Was never going back in that building
wow.
again. So,
awesome.
So, yeah, we've had some things happen.
Now, that's the perfect lead-in because you guys are starting something today called Darkness Tours, right?
Yes.
That starts today.
We have Darkness Tours, and we have been doing them for several years now, and they're very popular. But we also have a magician, and he's world-renowned. He's actually been on Penn & Teller's Fool
mm-hmm.
Us.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an incredible magician. So he is going to be doing a magic show. We are going to have a group of paranormal investigators who have done an investigation at the mansion, and yes, they found things.
Imagine that
happened. And so they are going to be there explaining their investigation of the mansion, but also the tools that they use,
yep.
which
mm-hmm.
is
cool.
really interesting. And people are going to get to walk through in the dark. So it's like three events for one mm-hmm. price,
that's
and it's only
good.
$20 per person.
And there are tickets available?
Yes.
And I know it's today and then tomorrow,
right.
Sunday the 22nd.
And then the next weekend, the 27th through the 31st.
And tickets are where?
The tickets are on Eventbrite. But if you go to our website, feltmansion.org, there's a click right to Eventbrite from our October events page.
All right.
So it's really easy. Feltmansion.org, go to the events page for October, and, you know, it takes you right to Eventbrite. Very easy to do.
It's
click,
a
click.
Great event. I mean, the whole thing sounds like so much fun. It's a great time of year. Get out there. Enjoy some time with the family. And just have a great time. Patty Meyer from the Felt Estate, thanks for being here with us today.
Oh, it was great to be here.
And really, that's going to do it for the Repco Light Home Improvement Show for today. Remember, you can find this and past episodes online at repcolight.com.
Also, be sure to check us out on Facebook. The links are right there on our homepage. And if you have any questions that you want to ask us, you can email us at radio@repcolight.com.
And if you're looking for something really, really fun to do today, you can always head to any Repco Light or Port City Paint store.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We're open till 3. Oh, and the Felt Estate has that darkness tours and the magician and the paranormal stuff.
Uh-huh.
So that might be fun,
too. Let's all go out and get creeped out.
Check it out. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And give you a head start on the creepy factor this Halloween. Thanks for listening.